The title of the message today is called Ungodly Alliance. Now it says in Galatians chapter 5, 17 and 18, it says this, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, and you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under law." Bring you up to date of what's happening today. We see ungodly alliances being made that we should not have any part with. God has never wanted His people to live otherwise but by the Spirit. Nor has He ever wanted His people to live in a compromising fashion. To do so would be confusion. And what I mean by that is to know good and evil. In other words, it steals from one, like God, in order to give credence or homage to another, like the devil. First comes the lie, then comes the theft, and then finally comes death. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden when all was perfect and good? Yeah. Only God the Father, who was good, was known. Then the serpent came with the lie. Once received, then came the theft, for Adam and Eve paid homage to the serpent, which in this case was the devil speaking, and then came death. For Adam and Eve's spirit died that day, and in time, so would their body and soul. And we know this to be true. God has always intended, this is important, for His people to be free and not to be in bondage to anyone. Bondage will come from continual disobedience to the Spirit of God. When God was ready to bless Abram at the age of 99, He made a covenant of circumcision with Abram. It would be a sign for all generations that God would be God unto Abram and his people. A great blessing of fruitfulness would occur. In fact, it was promised to him that even kings would be born from his lineage. And we know this all to be true. This is all history. We know the greatest, one of the greatest kings that came down through was King David. Amen. And of course, through David came Jesus Christ himself, generations later. God also stated that the uncircumcised would be cut off from Abram's people. This would be a separation of the godly from the ungodly. And a lesson can be gotten from all this that there needs to be a separation between the bond and the free, the flesh and the spirit. They cannot and must not be mixed. In our lives today, we see an unholy alliance being attempted to be agreed upon again and again. You're probably wondering, what alliance is he talking about? But it's been imprinted in our brains because we've seen it on TV time and time again. There's an attempt to bring an alliance, in a sense, between the godly and the ungodly. A covenant, an agreement, the Jew with the Gentile. There is only one way such an alliance can be done, and it must be done through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who broke down the dividing wall and made the two one. And it cannot be done by the shed blood of our soldiers, this kind of alliance, because it's a spiritual alliance. And I'm going to try to explain it, but let's look at what Scripture says first. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and following. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So today the Lord has established we cannot be His child unless we have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the Savior. Unless we believe, amen, that God raised Him from the dead, and we confess Jesus as our Lord. That's what it's talking about. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And here it says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. The Bible says, "For you are all one in Christ Jesus." And if you be Christ, the Bible says, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The ungodly alliance is the road to peace plan between Israel and her neighbors who follow another God. It is a treaty of compromise. It can only spell trouble. What kind of trouble? Jacob's trouble. Galatians 4:28 and following says, "And we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now." Amen? Just as it was in the days of Isaac and Ishmael, so it shall be in these last days. There can never be peace but by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord, I've heard testimonies about those, even I believe of the lineage of Ishmael, and many of them are of the Muslim faith, are getting a vision of Jesus Christ. And because of that vision of Jesus Christ, and the Lord has come to them and they have received that, they have come out of that. Many have lost their lives because of that, but they have been saved. Hallelujah for that. People may be able to solve their indifferences as believers in Jesus Christ. But I ask you, can nations solve those indifferences if those nations live contrary to each other? Can two walk together unless they be agreed so? This roadmap of peace is not God's roadmap, but man's. It does, however, fulfill Scripture in that it will occur. It says in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Yep, the true believers will always be saved out of the great trouble, out of even the great tribulation. Can I say that? That the Scriptures talk about in the last days, you can read about it in Revelation, as well as many of the prophets of old. You can read about it, and Zechariah will talk about it. A lot of the Scriptures that Revelation actually uses, the revelation of the book of Zechariah brought to light. Hallelujah. Things that Daniel saw, but could not even bring the fullness of it because it was saved for a time. Whose time? Our time.
Amen.
These last days that we live in. It says in Daniel 12:1, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for all the children of thy people." And of course, we're talking about the great deliverance here. "And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." If you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, amen, and He is your God, your name is written in the book of life. And God has promised, if your name is written there, that you will have eternal life. But there are other books that have been written, and if you have rejected Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will suffer eternal death. And many of them, it says in Daniel 12:2, "that sleep in the dust of the ground shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." You know, God never, I want to say this, God never instructed that the Jewish nation would come into a peace agreement, shake hands with their neighbors, in that sense, the Gentiles. There might have been alliances there, but not this kind of alliance that's trying to be developed today. It goes against everything that the Lord would speak concerning Israel. Israel was always meant to be separate in that sense. And so a push to bring forth an agreement that's not done by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it can never happen because only the blood brings peace. It's the blood of Christ because only God accepted that blood to bring forth true peace. So any effort to try to bring forth that kind of a peace agreement is a false effort. And I know I'm speaking pretty powerfully today, but the Scripture says a lot about what will happen if they did that. Let's just keep reading some Scriptures. Zechariah 14:2, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken." Just as soon as they do this thing, there's going to be trouble. "And the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." This idea, I want to say that where they're trying to get them to share the West Bank with the Palestinians, that's not God's will.
Okay.
You know, God has already established what shall be Israel.
That's right.
You know, and to step in and try to stop that is to go against God's word.
That's right.
And once that thing is fully established, it's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. Great trouble. Zechariah 14:3, "The Lord will go forth, he'll fight against all the nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." Hallelujah. It's interesting that he's going to stand upon the Mount of Olives, because I understand that's where the big graveyards are in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Why is that so important? Because all those who believe in the Savior, hallelujah, have a promise. Hallelujah. Amen. Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, And the mountain of olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Amen. And the half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half of it towards the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come. Now listen to what he says here. Powerful. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Hallelujah. This talks about when the Lord makes this triumphant entry. Amen. As the scripture talks about in Revelation 19. Hallelujah. With the saints with him. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day, which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that even time it shall be light. It shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea, in the summer and winter it shall be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. We need to keep talking about what the scripture says. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 and following. But of the times and the seasons, brethren. Amen. Who are the brethren? Those that are the believers. You have no need that I write unto you. You should already know this, he's saying, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I can tell you right now that when the ungodly alliance is done, has been made, prepare yourselves. Amen? Prepare yourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get ready, because it won't be long. And of course, the Lord says, I come for those who are looking for me. Amen? By faith. Hallelujah. It says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Boy, the scripture has some things to say about that. But brethren, you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief, because you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Amen.
It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 and following, and we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, that son of perdition. Well, I'll tell you what, I really believe there's going to be a great falling away. All those who aren't true are going to fall away because they're going to go after the Antichrist. And they're going to go after the false Messiah. They're going to go after the devil's last ditch effort to outdo what happened at Calvary. Now, isn't it interesting that the devil is going to try to copy what Jesus did? Amen. You have the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And you're here in the last days, you've got the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist. Amen. And they're going to try to copy what God did with his Son, Jesus Christ. Because this Antichrist, this man of sin, this man of perdition, he's going to die and he's going to come back to life. And the devil is going to be there taking over and will look to be worshipped as God himself. Notice it comes at the end of time. That proves that it's false, because if there was any truth to it, it would have come like when Christ came years ago to give many people a chance to live. But no, it comes at the end of the season. It proves it is a destructive plan to damn the souls of the last days. Wow. Wow. Yep, there's going to be a falling away. Amen. And that man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, will sit in the temple of God. And that could never happen except for through this unholy alliance, this unholy peace agreement, and showing himself that he is God. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and following, we're getting rapidly to a close. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Hallelujah. And the Bible talks about trumpet judgments. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying what is written. Amen. And I like this. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and following says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or with the devil? Or what part hath he that believed with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. He's speaking to you Christians, as God has said, for I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate. Separate. We've got so many people today that say they're Christian and they have married the unbeliever. They have yoked themselves with unbelievers in such an alliance that it brings forth a lot of trouble. Unnecessary trouble. Scripture tells us to be separate, saith the Lord. Well, we're in this world. There is a lot of unbelief there. But what is the Lord saying? Don't come into an alliance with them. Hallelujah. Don't come into alliance with them. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Well, the Scripture talks a lot about in marriages, if you have an unbelieving spouse, it's very specific that you can win that spouse over by your lifestyle in the Lord. Hallelujah. So always live unto the Lord. God said, I'll be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And I finish with this, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You're thinking, can it be possible? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, we sang it today, there's power in the blood. Our only hope is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, that all those dead works that are in our lives, God cleanses our mind from all those things. He cleanses us from all those things. The blood is made away, brother and sister. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.